you seem very surprised by his release. Does that square with your perception?
We were asked by his agent for a release on multiple occasions, so we weren't going to come to a conclusion in terms of a contract extension. We weren't going to extend any contract or adjust any contract, so we granted him what his agent asked for. So.
Why not just ask him to honor the contract then?
That conversation had gone on for a long time, so it wasn't addressed to us that was going to happen, so that's what we did moving forward.
So you don't think he would have played this season under that contract?
I don't know. I mean, they obviously wanted a new contract. We weren't going to give him a new contract. They asked for the release, so we released him.
I know during the draft you said that you hadn't received any offers in 2 years for Evan, but was there any thought given towards holding him through August when maybe a team suffers an injury on the offensive line and he could be an asset?
Maybe, but we discussed everything. We just felt if he didn't want to be here, I want Evan to get whatever he can get, and I hope it works out for him. And he was great for us in the 2 years we have him, and I like Evan a lot. If he wants to get a release to see if he can get what he can get better, then we released him.
What changed between this year and last year? He was asking for the trade last offseason as well, so why this?
But they didn't ask for a release or anything to that standpoint, so they were asking for a release. So
when did he ask for the release? Because initially he had said that he was playing him on the court.
They asked for release on multiple occasions since the free agency started, to be honest with you.
So was that cut and dry? It was either renegotiating or releasing?
That's according to his agent. They wanted a release, so we released.
Any concern about precedent for other players who may not be happy with their
release? No, we deal with every contract on an individual basis. So.
But you don't feel other players might see what Evan does and try to pull?
Or other players could say they're going to hold out and get more money, too. I mean, there's a catch-22 to both of those sides of it. So.
How does not having him around impact the depth?
We obviously are down a good football player, but, I mean, we're confident in the guys we have, and that's why we made the decision we made.
What did you see out of the Barbers and the Tobins that gave you more confidence that you could move on without Mathis?
Really, I think Alan Barber is an outstanding football player. He just got hurt at the beginning of the year last year. Whenever he's had to play for us, he's played extremely well for us, and I know we're excited about moving forward with him, and then we'll see what happens at the other position.
I mean, depth was an issue for you guys on the offensive line last year. I mean,
I think depth is an issue for everybody in this league, so that's just part of the deal.
So why did you choose to release him when you did? Because
we weren't coming to a conclusion in terms of him being here, so.
And why not wait until after the mandatory minicamp to see if
hopefully I was seeing if he could catch on with somebody for the minicamp so he could make a team, so. I'm not going to hold guys out. I mean, that's just not the deal. If he didn't want to be here and he wants a release, we granted him his release. So we moved on, they moved on. I hope things really work out for Evan.
Was there any discussion of releasing him before free agency?
No, because we were trying to see if we had draft options, and trade options, you know, and going through the draft and what conversations would happen then, and, you know, went through the league meetings, didn't have any conversations, or no one had any conversations with us about offering us anything, so we felt we waited as long as we possibly could to see if we could trade him.
Were you concerned that he might hold out in training camp?
No, that wasn't a concern at all.
How would you assess his play last year on the field?
I think he played well, except he missed 8 games, you know, so it's in the 8 games he was here, he played well.
Do you feel like you're as athletic at guard as you were last year with Harriman and Mathis?
Yes, we do. We really do.
Do everything you want to do?
Yeah, we haven't changed any play schemes or how we approach things in terms of what we run for plays, so no.
What about Wheeler? What does Wheeler bring? Why sign?
We need a 16th body in here, so we have 16 offensive linemen. That's a number we have in our 90, and we've been down a body because Evan hasn't been here, but he was still counted in your 90, so it's just adding another guy out there to add some depth to the guys that we have and see how he fits into the mix.
Matt Tobin last year obviously played some games and then wasn't in there again. What does he need to work on to make that
season? Just consistency. You know, at times I think Matt's played really well for us, but I think he needs to be more consistent, not just flash at times, and I think he understands that. But I think we've got some good competition going on there with him and Andrew Gardner and Dennis Kelly and Kevin Graff and the other guys that are at that position.
How much did the ankle sprain that he suffered in the preseason finale last year kind of inhibit him starting off the year? And when he did get in there, was it still?
Who's that?
Was
Matt?
He a little behind? Yeah, Matt.
Yeah, he was behind. You know, it was a significant injury. I think he actually came back a lot faster than we probably thought he was going to come back, but I think it speaks to his toughness.
There was a quote from Trey Thomas, I believe, who said that, like, Mathis and Jason Peters weren't a really good fit on the left side working together at all.
Yeah, that's not. No. I mean, no.
The fact that Barber has played left guard throughout the spring, is that preparing for the possibility that Mathis would
have? No, he hasn't played left guard throughout the spring, so.
In the practices we've been here, he's been the first team left guard.
Coincidence. So. I mean, you guys look at it. I mean, we can go who's starting at corner today and who's playing left guard today and who plays right guard today. It's, I'll say this. I know I say it over and over again, but maybe I can get this point across. It's June. Whoever lines up anywhere today is not an indication that they're going to be a starter where they line up when we play in September. So.
Allen has said that he is more comfortable on the left side. Do you notice that? I mean, does that seem to be a stronger point?
No, I mean, he played well for us last year, I thought, when we played right tackle for Lane. So we played all right tackle all last year during preseason and then in the first game. And then obviously, but he broke his ankle in that first game. So I think he's comfortable in playing both sides. He may be a little bit more comfortable playing left. That's a conversation you can have with him. But I think he's comfortable playing both sides.
If an offensive line needs
to right.
Tobin's played some tackle. All those guys have. Tobin has versatility. We like guys like that, but you have to have that. If you're not a starter, when we dress seven guys on game day, someone has to be a center guard, someone has to be a guard tackle, because that's all you're dressing. So if you're not in the top five, you need to have versatility in terms of your ability to play. If you are only a one-position guy and you're not the starter, it's difficult to make that game day roster just because – we're going to take the guy who has more versatility over you because you don't know what's going to go down on game day. So.
Is everyone here today?
Everyone's here today. Yeah.
With cohesion being so important for an offensive line, at what point would you like to decide who those starters are going to be at right and left guard in order to build that cohesion going into the year?
We'll see how it plays itself out, but I think our system lends itself to that. That's a pretty cohesive group to begin with. So sometime during training camp, you'd like to kind of narrow that down.
What did you think about Kerry's comments that he made last week on the Raiders show?
I didn't really pay attention to Kerry's comments last week. I heard he made some, but I didn't listen to him or read them. So.
He basically was saying that he thought the team was burned out and kind of revisiting the comments he made last year.
Yeah, I mean, I talked to the rest of the players on our team. Malcolm Jenkins said he felt the best in his entire career after playing the most snaps. So that's a minority opinion. There's the majority of our players. Would tell you that they felt great at the end of the season.
Does it worry you if there's even one player, though, that thinks that way?
Yeah, but I also know that you have to make your decisions based on the whole group, not just one player, because if I did it on one player, then the other guys would feel bad. So.
Did you guys change at all after he made those comments? Like the practice changes? Because he insinuated that time that practices, you backed off a little bit.
No, we do the same thing every year in terms of what we do from volume. It's all based on science, so.
If he felt that way then it was more... That was his perception of it more than that was the reality.
I don't know. You have to ask him.
Do you think the players who are currently here would feel comfortable telling you if they felt?
Yeah, we talk every day. I mean, they fill out a questionnaire every day. So, I mean, it's something that we do on a daily basis. So,
is there a timeline for Bradford to throw 11-on-11, or is that a training camp issue?
Is there a timeline? No, we haven't set any timelines.
What will Sam do this OTAs that, or this minicamp that he didn't do in the OTAs? Anything?
He's on the same type of schedule.
Supposed to kind of mix in with the 7-on-7s and team?
Yeah.
No 11-on-11 at this point?
No 11-on-11, no.
What's the difference between this three-day minicamp? Is there any difference between the minicamp and OTA?
In terms of training on the field, no. We just have afternoon sessions. We have a walkthrough and meetings in the afternoon. The only difference is in the first part of OSPs, you have 4 hours. During OTAs, you have 6 hours. And during minicamp, you have 8 hours. But your time on the field hasn't changed, so.
In adding veteran depth, at least someone on the offensive line?
We're very comfortable in the 90 guys we have here right now.
Two more questions.
You've talked about the need to reduce the X plays defensively. What were the problems that led to those last season?
There's a million. I mean, sometimes it's just individual coverage. Sometimes it's a pass rush not getting home. Sometimes it's a miscommunication. There wasn't one specific thing that you can say, it's this. If we correct that, we'll be better at it. So.
Do you think Earl Marcus and Julian will be able to do anything
for
training camp?
Say that again?
Do you think Bradford will be ready for 11-on-11 in training camp?
God, we hope so.